Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe on this Valentine's Day, this Friday, 102.5, 106.3, the game. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. It's now time for story time with Uncle Chris. Chris Sanders joins us now on the program. Chris, what's up?
Man, what is going on? How y'all brothers doing? It's like we ain't talked in like 7 years, man. Y'all doing good?
Yeah, we're good, man. We're just, you know, fresh off the Super Bowl. What'd you think of the game?
Oh, my God. I thought it was a really, really good game. And here's what I love about the game is, and I'm just looking at it as a coach, it just shows you the difference of if your front is playing with so much tenacity. When you have a front that's playing so good, it just makes the whole team better. Look at what happened with a situation to where you have Mahomes who makes plays and extending the pocket. When you have a front that is after his behind the whole game, he could not do nothing. And it just shows you the importance of having a good front.
All right, so I say story time with Uncle Chris. I don't know if you've realized what today is.
Valentine's.
It is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
But it also would have been the 52nd birthday of your teammate, your quarterback, Steve McNair.
Oh, man.
If I ask you to tell a Steve McNair story, is there one that pops out?
Yeah, there's one. There's two. Number one, we were playing the Dallas Cowboys, and we're definitely in the huddle. And the play before that, Steve McNair broke his finger. So his fingers actually pointed himself. I mean, that's how crazy it was. I mean, it was pointed himself. It was going the opposite direction. And, you know, Frank Wycheck's in the huddle. Eddie George's in the huddle. And he's like, man, let's call a timeout. You got to get it done. He's like, this is all he said. I'm all right. I'm good. So he gets up there, and he's going through the cadence, and he pops it back in. And then all of a sudden, he runs like a 46-yard touchdown. That's the kind of cat, you know, that he was.
Oh, man. That makes me cringe.
Yeah, it
listening
does.
To that.
And this is a story. I mean, not actually a story, but something that I've always wanted to say. I remember when I was at his funeral, and they came up to the interview, and they said, if Steve McNair was alive, what would you tell him? It wasn't about X and O's. It wasn't about this. I just wish, as opposed to just talking about X and O's, I wish I would have told him how much I loved him.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me to this day, because a lot of times we as players and we as coaches, we always talk about, hey, let's go win the Super Bowl, but we never stop and say, bro, how you doing and how much we love him. I wish I could have did it a little different.
Give me a time where he climbed your butt.
No, he really didn't climb my butt, but he gave me that look like, Chris, you tripping, man. I mean, he did that. I remember we were playing the Buffalo Bills, and this is us coming off the Super Bowl year. I think we played Buffalo the first game. And
you did.
And we ran a route, and I guess I did it wrong. And he walked, and he looked at me all the way to the sun like, man, what are we doing? So I was like, okay, I better get it done. So it wasn't that he was a vocal guy like, man, you better do such and such. He just gave you that look like, hey, dog, we got to get this done. So that's kind of that situation. That
where were you on the field? To me, besides the Super Bowl, Steve McNair's best play was the Sunday night game. You guys were the Oilers against Tampa Bay on Sunday night when he ran 80 yards and nobody could catch him.
Yeah.
Were you on the – because I think you – we talked about this. I think you laid a block for him.
I kind of did. I was just kind of in the way. I mean, you know, I'm not going to block. I think the best play Steve ever made is when we were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Championship game, and the game's on the line, and all we need is one first down, and they are out of here. Who makes the play? Steve McNair makes a long run to the 1 yard line, and we win. I think that was the most incredible play I've ever seen.
Oh, I love it. By the way, because it's Valentine's Day, I have a song for you, and Dr. Crane hit it.
Oh boy.
You can take it, Chris.
Baby, I surrender.
This is a skating rink song.
Hey, but if you ever go look at the video, they made the video on their front porch.
They did. That's right.
Hey, you can play this for the missus tonight.
There you go.
Yes. Yes. Force MDs. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, man. That is good stuff right there, Chris Sanders.
Here I wait all alone. Okay, I'm good. I'm good.
Chris, earlier this week, Travis Hunter said he's going to go to the combine as a DB, not as a wide receiver.
Sure.
What'd you think about that? And is that the right move for him to kind of show his skills at DB, even though teams know they're going to be able to use him on both sides of the ball.
Absolutely, because it's basically said, okay, this is what I want to do. This is going to be my prominent position. But everybody knows. Everybody in their mind, whoever drafts him, know that he's going to play both ways. And, you know, with him coming out saying this, I think – this is just my opinion. I think he may be the number one, two, or three guy taken off the board because it's said that I'm going to be a DB. But on the flip side, there's different packages I can use. Use them in jet sweep, let him run those quick hitches, slants, and let him get the ball in his hand. So that's great that he did that to declare that I'm going in as a defensive back. But in the back of those coaches' minds, they're like, okay, we're going to use them in offense with different packages.
What would you do if John Robinson got the Jacksonville job? And he said, Chris, I need you to come down here and talk to the players for him. Be like a pro personnel guy. How quick would you get to Jacksonville?
I would get down there really quick because here's the deal. Is you know, it's all about not just developing guys as, you know, just football players, but developing as men. So what I would do is I would go down there and just tell them all the mistakes that I made so they don't make the same mistakes. Because at the end of the day, this is why I coach. If you develop players to being good football players but don't teach them how to overcome adversity and be good men, then I'm doing a disservice. And what I would do is I would just be an open book to the organization and say, okay, this is what happened. This is how I learned. This is what I did. Here's the mistakes that I made. Here's the traps that I fell in, all the things that I went through, so now they don't have to go through the same thing. So later on down the road, me and my wife talk about this all the time, Faye Sanders, is we want to work with an organization. I don't care if it's with the Titans or with the Jacksonville Jaguars, that we can help the player but also the wife and the whole family so when they retire, they can walk in their destiny like God's called them to walk in.
I love it. And I ask that because when I played in college, my position coach, he played at Florida State. I loved him to death. Yeah. I never went to my head coach for anything because I just didn't feel I had the relationship. But with my position coach, I felt like I love this guy. He loves me. I got a problem going on. So I think what you're talking about is monumental to a football team because these players need to talk to somebody, and they're not talking to the head coach.
Listen, you know what's so funny is because if it wasn't for Les Steckel and Sherman Smith, and I'm just being straight up honest with you, I probably was somewhere in the ditch dead somewhere. I'm just being honest with you because I came in as a rookie. I got the success really, really quick. I mean, I made the all-rookie team, did all that great things, but my life sucked. I mean, I was selfish. I was prideful. I was running around. I was doing crazy stuff, and I couldn't have nobody to talk to me. But here's the thing that I love about Sherman Smith and Les Steckel. They sat me down, and they spoke life into me. Say, okay, I know you're in this. Let's get out of this so you can become this. Mm. And that's the reason why I love to coach, and that's the reason why I love doing player development is because I can help people turn their mess into a message, and that's all I am is just a message.
Yep, and you do a great job of it. That is for sure. Chris, always enjoy the chats with you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you. Hey, I know it's Valentine's, and we say we love each other to our wives and whatever, but I want to tell you, Chase and Joe, I love you guys with all my heart, and it's an honor to work with y'all. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We love you back. Thanks,
appreciate
Chris.
Appreciate
you, baby. Okay, yep, Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program as he does every Friday.
In the words of Patrick Swayze and Ghost, ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto. You ever see Ghost the movie?
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Such a great movie.
When
Whoopi tells Demi Moore and he's like, tell her ditto, and she's like, what the hell does ditto mean? And Demi Moore is such a great actress that she turns around and is like, what did you say? I mean, it's just it's so strong and powerful.
What was the song? Was it Unchained Melody?
Yep.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, that was in there. That's a good one.
It is.
That's a great movie. We will have more coming here on the Chase and Big Joe show, including back to our question, have you ever been thrown out of a bar in honor of Valentine's Day?
Yes.
I don't know. We'll do that and much more next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Little Elvin Aaron Presley bringing us back. Wasn't he like 21 when he recorded this or something like that?
He was born in 35. So.
56 is really when he hit it big, and yep. He was like 21.
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. Memphis claims him, but he's a Mississippi boy from Tupelo.
I got to go to Tupelo tomorrow morning. Yeah, my son's having a big choir showcase in Tupelo, so I got to leave like 6 in the morning to go down there. And I'll drive by the house and take a picture for you.
By Graceland?
Yeah. Tupelo.
Didn't you tell the didn't you tell the story one time that you did something at Graceland and they were like, no Elvis impressions, and you got
When I was at Channel 2, we did a tour around Tennessee, an hour TV show, and went to Graceland, and we get down there, the PR lady says, no matter what you do on this tour, you cannot imitate Elvis. We will throw you out immediately. And I was like, really? She said, yeah, we just tossed out the BBC, was doing an interview in the Jungle Lounge. We tossed them out for imitating. They wouldn't stop. We don't tolerate. It's a zero tolerance policy. So Elvis has a racquetball court that's full of all of his awards. No Grammy. He only won like one Grammy award, but all these other awards. And the racquetball court's nice. And the lady's like 5 feet ahead of me. And I'm talking to my camera guy. And I said, man, I said, I pulled a muscle troop on racquetball down here. And she says, what did you say? And I turned around and I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what did you say? What was that you were talking about? So I was just telling him about, this is a great racquetball court. She's like, no, 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 you did an Elvis voice. I said, no, ma'am, I did not. I did not do an Elvis voice. I was just saying, this is a great racquetball court, and I play racquetball, and I'd love to have played in it. She's like, I'm watching you. I am watching you. And I have like three witnesses. Two have passed away, but I had three witnesses at the time. We were like, oh, my God. And so you don't. I mean, so, they're serious about that.
Oh, I know. But what was funny is, so do you remember the scene from Spinal Tap? From This Is Spinal Tap, where they go to Graceland,
yeah, right,
and they're standing at his grave, and they start singing. I think it was "Love Me Tender." They start singing and like trying to get the harmony going.
Yes, and that was all ad libbed.
Oh yeah,
all everybody, because the director is Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a great
such
scene.
Such a great movie.
So don't imitate Elvis at Graceland. They don't like that.
The Four Nations face-off tournament going on right now, the National Hockey League putting that on, and I've watched the last two nights. It's been a lot of fun, but we do have to have this conversation, Preds fans. The USA beat Finland last night 6-1.
Good.
Well, that is good, because go USA, and USA's next game is tomorrow night against Canada, so that's going to be a big one.
Even
for sure.
Better.
Finland and Sweden will play earlier in the day, and then USA-Canada tomorrow night. The problem is, Juuse Saros was in net for Finland last night. Did not look good. And I think some of the hope for Preds fans and for people was that he could go to this tournament, have a good showing, get a little bit of his confidence back, because he's been beat up this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not been a good year. You know, he's kind of had a down year, but I think – you know, some of the discussion has been, is it because of the play in front of him? And I think some of that's still true. But, I mean, he had some of the best in front of him last night, and it just was not good.
He's gotten progressively worse.
And it's just – it's a worry, because the 8-year deal hadn't even kicked in yet.
Mm.
And so, again, I'm not ready to completely write him off. You know, I mean, about half the game he was good. He gave up 4 in the third period. That's when things really got away from him. The Tkachuk brothers just went off. They each scored 2 goals.
Yes.
So, you know, it was 1-1 after 1, 2-1 after 2, and then things got away from Finland in the third period. But I do think it's a concern, because 32 shots on net, 6 of those goals by the U.S.
So you know more about this than I do, obviously. What if he's not – what if he continues to get worse? Can they take the contract and say, my bad, we were just kidding.
Just take it back.
What do they do?
I mean,
if you don't need him and he's not really good anymore, what do you do?
They're kind
8 years.
They're kind of SOL. I mean, they're guaranteed contracts. Now, I mean, look, we've seen teams get out of it. They buy them out. I mean, the Predators bought out Matt Duchene. You know, they retained some salary on Ryan Johansson when they traded him. So, you know, they're certainly no – Kyle Turris, they're certainly no strangers to that.
My goodness.
You know, we're a long way from that.
But we're on the highway, and that's – we're getting on the on
map. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, this year is what it is now. Like, this they're not going to make the playoffs. This is a lost year.
Right.
I mean, the trade deadline is coming up. I have a feeling Gus Nyquist is going to get moved. Colton Sissons might be on the trade block. McCarron, you know, some of those guys. And you're just going to, you know, bring the young guys up, finish the year, see what you got in them, and then move on to next year. The hope is, and the thought has to be, that, all right, this was just a bad year. next year is going to be better. Saros has to be better. Stamkos has to be better. Forsberg has to be better. That needs to be the thought, but whether it's the reality or not, time will tell. The reality could be, and I hope it's wrong, but the reality could be that this just isn't a good group. I don't think that's the case because I think that, you know, and there's a lot of things that are going to have to be evaluated. Barry Trotz is culpable in all of this. Andrew Brunette, obviously, you know, does the system work with this group? I think is a fair question. They're going to have to look at that. Look, I think Andrew Brunette's a fine coach. He's a good coach. But, you know, sometimes you find that a certain system doesn't work with a certain group of players.
Yeah.
They may come to that realization. I don't know.
I never thought we'd have this conversation.
Nobody thought we'd have it. Nobody thought we'd have this conversation.
I mean, the elation and jubilation from July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd when all this got signed, we were just like, oh, my God. And remember, like, all the hockey guys were like, yeah, I'm working out, and I see across the bottom NHL Network, Stamkos and Brady Shea and Methuselah to the Predators and all these guys signing. And we're sitting there, and I'm like, yay, next June. This is great. And now I'm thinking, it's over in mid-April.
Here's how I view this thing of what needs to happen. You're stuck with these contracts. Anybody that's like, well, get rid of Stamkos or get rid of Marchessault or get rid of Shea, you got trade protection. You're stuck with them. So what I would suggest is, you know, you evaluate the youngsters that you've brought up. Are they ready? Are they good enough to be in the NHL? I have some concerns with Evangelista's regressed. And then the other ones that we saw a couple of years ago that played well are gone because – they've realized that they don't work with this system, and so they got rid of them. So you got, you know, Kimmel just got called up.
Let me ask you a question. You always say, not a knock on you, about this system. Is the system just to score goals?
No.
Am I wrong on this? No,
I mean, yes. That's the whole idea. That's the end result.
Like in football, I get it. Tom Brady's not going to run the RPO.
Yeah.
I get that.
Sure.
But I'm just thinking in hockey, is there different
things? There's a lot
of
passing. There's a lot of plays that get set up with this, and that's the whole thing.
It's just confusing to me. Just score.
I wouldn't. You know, they're going to have room. They're going to have cap room. Johansson's, I think his comes off the books. I think Ekholm comes off the books, even though it wasn't a lot. You're still paying Duchesne. You're still paying Turris, but the cap's going to go up. So they're going to have space to work with that they can go out and get some free agents. The first thing they have to do is you got to go find a defense partner for Roman Josi. Go find a right shot defenseman that can play alongside Roman Josi. Seth Jones is in a long-term deal with Chicago. I don't think he's leaving there.
Okay.
That's the first thing you got to look at. And then, you know, decide if you want to tweak. You know, if there's a – I think Tavares might be a free agent. I wouldn't go that route. I think he's an older player, and, I mean, that kind of defeats the purpose. You want to get a little younger. You're probably going to have a good draft pick. So Barry Trotz has to – and they have three first-rounders. So Barry Trotz has to decide how he wants to go about that in trying to improve this roster. And then you go and you put these guys back out there, and you better hope that it's a different result than you got this year. If not – then I think we're having a bigger conversation about a guy that we all really respect and love, and that's the GM.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. But it's
and he knows that.
One more year. I give it one more year.
Yeah,
and hopefully you get it done. If not, then you blow it all up.
Yep. Then you have to make some changes for sure. But the Four Nations Tournament, if you haven't checked it out yet, it's been a lot of fun because it is kind of the all-star. I mean, some of these rosters are just loaded. But tomorrow's the big day. Finland and Sweden will play, and then at noon on ABC, and then at 7 o'clock on ABC, USA, Canada in Montreal. That crowd's going to be hot.
Where are they playing?
Montreal.
Ah.
That crowd is going to be hot.
Well, good. I think we need to cut a promo and said, hey, man, ain't no tariffs on these goals.
Yeah! America!
Freebird!
Woo! I feel like with this player right now, the three of us should be in like a 70-something Chevelle.
Yes.
Like going 90 down I-65.
Yeah.
High-speed police.
Hello, Ricky Bobby right there, baby.
Ooh, keep it going. Turn it up.
Good. Yeah, give it a break, Jake.
Yeah, take it a break. We'll have more. We'll get your calls coming up in just a few minutes. Have you ever been thrown out of a bar? America, it's Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Woo! Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Still recovering from our Freebird outro. People texted in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Say Devin and Dixon saying that was the most American outro ever. I'm ready to ride a giant bald eagle and drink a Budweiser now.
Yes.
So I picture that is that's blaring. We're going down I-65. Dr. Crane's driving. And we're just like yelling, yep. Go America!
Well, it's like about 25 miles an hour.
Somebody did
over 80.
Somebody did text. You're driving 80 if Dr. Crane's driving.
That's right. Just so I can get there.
Mike, ain't no tariffs on these goals. Woo! Was so out of pocket and the funniest thing I've heard all month, Joe.
Right. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, man. I'm not going to apologize for the greatest country on earth kicking some ass tomorrow. Absolutely, man. For all that. So, yeah, that's so good. You guys are great on the text line, man. That's so. 0989. I'm so hyped right now because listen to Freebird and both of y'all yell, America, let's go, right? So let's get it done. Always like during the Olympics or during the World Cup when they do the bald eagle when it's flying over the lake and just the silhouette of the bird, the eagle on the lake and all that stuff. Man, it's so cool.
Oh, yeah. So awesome. I'm not going to say what it says, but go on Twitter. CJ Gardner-Johnson's hoodie that he's wearing with the Eagles Super Bowl parade. Let's just say it's directed towards Swifties.
Was he the same one that yelled at Kelsey that he should have stayed with the other blank, blank girl?
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They argued on the field?
Yeah. I think he was.
And that's the thing is they – Kelsey, did I see it yesterday? They showed somebody has a clip of Kelsey during the Super Bowl, like four or five different plays where he's just basically standing there.
Yeah.
Not blocking, not doing it. He is so checked out. Good for him. He earned it. 13 years, 3 Super Bowls. He earned it. Go right off of the sunset, Mary Taylor, be happy, enjoy life.
Well, he did talk about it on the podcast that he does with his brother that he's thinking. I mean, you can, again, I don't think you should make a decision. In February, you know, give it a few weeks, think about it, just take a step back. But he was – the way he was talking made you think he was done.
What's he – I mean, look, his brother walked off at the height of his career. 13 years as a tight end. I never thought he'd get up after Jonathan Cyprian hit him in the playoffs in the 2017 year. But you're relatively healthy. Let's go. Go have fun. Go live your life. You got multi millions. Go enjoy life. But that guy for the Eagles, when he said that to him on the field, allegedly, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Referring to the girl that Travis dated before he started dating Taylor Swift.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I think that we're now getting into the season where there's going to be some news and, you know, players being released and the quarterback carousel
right.
And retirements. And
do you remember when they first started dating? We had that topic that day of the prenup. Well, like almost immediately. If they ever got married, the prenup that they'd have to sign – and it's not funny when you think about Taylor's prenup, but about his prenup, like she doesn't get his Playboys or doesn't get his Lego collection. It's just the elementary stuff that a bachelor guy would have laying around the house, like the pillows or just something around there. But it's good for them. As long as you're happy, man, I don't care.
So I saw some of this too, you know, talking about the Chiefs of, you know, I heard somebody say that like, people don't realize how, you know, much it takes out of a team going to 3 straight Super Bowls, which like you hear that and you go, are you serious? Like, what are you talking about? But I mean, if you think about it, like the season has been the longest it can possibly be 3 straight years now. And they've gone to what, 7 championship games, you know, in that time. I mean, they have had long seasons. I mean, does it catch up with you?
I think so.
The Super Bowl fatigue?
Yeah, but imagine the Buffalo Bills. They went the four straight,
right.
Lost all four. All
right.
So I think, but again, no team comes back 100%. So you'll have 10, 12, 15 different guys that come back, but your core guys are always there. With the Bills, Jim Kelly, Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas. Those are your three big guys. You know, then you'd have Bruce Smith on defense and Cornelius Bennett, Darrell Lewis. But you've got those core probably 10 to 12 guys who return every year. But I think it takes a grind out of them.
Henry McKenna, who is an NFL reporter for Fox Sports, he put this up, quote, "Before the game, a Chiefs coach told me that media members have been asking him if going to the Super Bowl has ever got old, and he bluntly told me, quote, it does. There was legit Super Bowl fatigue from this Chiefs team. It was completely clear in the first half when things escalated quickly."
I just don't think they – I think the Eagles were better.
I would never admit that.
No.
I would never admit that.
I think the Eagles were a better football team. That's okay. You got beat by a better team. That's like, you know, when we talked to Rick Stocks about going to the Hawaii Bowl or to the Calabria Bowl or these other bowls, and he says, hey, boys, I've never been to a bad bowl.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah. He's right.
Yeah.
So I could see a little fatigue there, but again, there's so many changes. You think DeAndre Hopkins had fatigue? He had never been to the Super Bowl before.
No,
so it happens, but I see that. But looking at Kelce, physically he's done.
Yeah.
Because he's not as big and as strong as he used to be. And that's okay. You earned it. You earned this right to retire on top.
Do you see this kind of being, you know, they've won three. So that's very, you know, obviously the Patriots won their first three. And then there was, you know, a little bit of a, I know they went back to some and played the Giants, but then there was kind of a lull. And then they won three more.
Right.
I mean, is that basically what we're going to now? I mean, it's kind of the same thing because now the Chiefs have lost two. They've won three. They've lost two during this time. So that there's five. I mean, do you think they're back next year or do you think they take a step back? I don't think they're back next year.
I think the Bills take the step and win it all next year. I just really do because I know they've been there before, but that defense got a little bit younger. They'll add a few four pieces in there. Allen's going to be on a mission. They're all going to be on a mission. And they know Kansas City's down, and they can go for it. But they should have beaten Kansas City. I think he's 0-4, 0-5 versus Mahomes.
Yeah.
But it's eerie similar to what happened in the 80s. You know, the Bears were always so close. 83 was the Redskins. 84 was the 49ers that beat him. And finally, 85, they broke through and got the job done. I see that with this Bills team in 2025.
I think the Bills are certainly going to be in the mix. I think the Eagles are going to be back in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder about the Giants because we're going to find out how much of it was Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn and how much of it.
You mean the Lions?
The Lions. Yeah. What did I say? The
Giants.
Oh, the Lions.
Where are we going here? That's okay.
The Lions. I wonder about them because, you know, is it the head coach or was it the coordinators? Is it the quarterback? You know, who was it? So I wonder about them. The team that I think is kind of sitting in the background and like, you know, I kind of picture the like you're watching the movie and there's, you know, the main characters, but then there's like a surprise character that's kind of in the shadows smoking a cigarette, like just watching things unfold. I think that's the Bengals because the Bengals got punched in the mouth.
I could see
pretty
that.
Hard this year. And Joe Burrow made a pretty damn good case to win MVP on a bad team.
On a really bad team. I was glad you did not say the Ravens.
No.
I don't think the Ravens are anywhere near that.
I think this was their
I agree.
Shot.
I do. The Bengals, man, you're right. That was a bad football team, and Burrow was having it. They lost, I think it was, I read, 7 one-score games. And that's off a bad bat, and they fired the defense coordinator. He's gone. He's now the coordinator for the Colts.
Yep.
So I agree with you on that. You put a few pieces in there. Burrow's on a mission. You sign Chase, sign you, and then you're good to go. I like that.
I wonder about Higgins. You know, are they going to bring Higgins back, or are they going to is Higgins going to hit free agency?
Mrs. Here? Higgins.
another team in the AFC that I think could be intriguing, the Chargers.
Yeah, we said the John of the day, and he didn't believe me.
Yeah,
I think the Chargers.
The Commanders, I'd watch out for. That's going to be a tough division because I do think the Cowboys are going to bounce back. I don't know how good Brian Schottenheimer is going to be as a coach. But.
What did he say? 21 years in a row, there's been a different number one team in the NFC East?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So it's not going to be the Eagles. It'll be the Commanders, Cowboys. Or, we know it's not the Giants.
Vikings, I think, take a step back.
Yeah.
Packers, I think, take a step forward.
That's a good football team.
I think they're pretty good.
Yep.
You know, the NFC South, I don't think that's a very good division. Tampa's scrappy. You know, does Atlanta.
Who beat Green Bay in the playoffs?
Who did beat Green Bay? Was it Tampa? No.
No, it was not.
I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look.
I'm having NFL fatigue, okay? I'm sorry.
I know. They lost to
I can't remember now.
A team that played the Eagles. The Eagles.
Eagles. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. They lost to the Eagles. And then the West, I don't know. I don't know about the – I don't think the 49ers bounce back.
No. But I think we should not discount – and you said it earlier, the Eagles.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to Mahomes without blitzing. Think about that. They didn't run a single blitz. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah.
They didn't run a single blitz. They had a four-man rush and terrorized him. They keep that core together. They're back. We're back.
Yeah. Oh, they're back for sure.
They are, buddy.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. But first, we've been doing this all week. Caller number 3-615-737-1025 will win a catering voucher from Salsarita's Fresh Mexican Grill, located at 2515 West End Avenue in the heart of Vandy Country. Be a catering meal up to 10 people, authentic Mexican flavors. Dine in, pick up, delivery, and catering. Just go to salsaritas.com for more info. Caller number 3-615-737-1025.
America! Ellen! The break! This is slowing the car down! We're approaching the car seat!
Okay, I'm coming in.
Smashing through the tank!
Did you yell America when you hit the accelerator?
Nope. No. No.
That crowd's going to be hot.
Where are they playing?
Montreal.
Ah.
That crowd is going to be hot.
Well, good. I think we need to cut a promo and said, hey, man, ain't no tariffs on these goals.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! America!
Freebird!
Woo!
I feel like with this blaring right now, the three of us should be in like a 70-something Chevelle.
Yes.
Like going 90 down
I-65. Yeah.
High-speed police.
Hello, Ricky Bobby right there, baby.
Ooh, keep it going. Turn it up.
Good. Yeah, go to the break, Jake.
Yeah, take it to break. We'll have more. We'll get your calls coming up in just a few minutes. Have you ever been thrown out of a bar? America, it's Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Woo! This is a little earlier in our show. Back here with Jason Big Joe. 102.5.
Unapologetic, baby.
106. Unapologetically American. Woo! On this Friday. Hey, Nashville's best deal this week. Speaking of America, it's 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Just head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. It is brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc., above and beyond industry standards. The only company you need for commercial construction services, whether it's plumbing and HVAC, all forms of HVAC units, commercial refrigeration, grease trap cleaning, all of that, visit them online at JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
All right, gentlemen, first on the list we have, not that, we have Frederick Douglass Day is first on the list.
Oh, Freddie.
And we also have International Book Giving Day, so nice. If you have a book, go give it to
somebody. Joe has some books.
I do.
Four of them, right?
Four of them, thank you.
This next one, I'm not sure how to pronounce. I think it's a fake word, but it's International Quirk Alone Day. Quirk Alone Day. It's all one word.
Is there
a
meaning behind it?
It just has somebody walking, Joe.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
International
not
Quirk
twerk Alone.
Day. No, it's Quirk Alone Day. I don't know. International Winter Bike to Work Day.
No, nope.
Winter
nice.
Bike. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Winter.
Let's see. League of Women Voters Day. Library Lovers Day.
Nice.
Hey, spend your Valentine's at the library. Let's see. National Call-In Single Day.
That's me every day.
National Cream-Filled Chocolates Day.
Ah, okay. That's good for Valentine's Day.
delicious chocolates.
Especially National cream filled.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with that. National Ferris Wheel Day. You know, all those people get stranded up top.
That's right.
National Have a Heart Day. National No One Eats Alone Day.
No one. And no soldier left behind either, baby.
Nope. National Organ Donor Day.
Excuse me?
Organ Donor.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Not Mike Organ, but, you know. Pet Theft Awareness Day. Let's see. Read Your Child Day, Inbox Day, and obviously Valentine's Day.
Woo! A lot of them. All right. Time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within two people. Here we go. The actress and author Meg Tilly. How old is Meg Tilly?
68.
70.
65. Actor Simon Pegg. He's been in all the Mission Impossible movies.
52.
65.
55. Chase, you're so close, man. Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20. Inflation's Matchbox 40. Please don't use that joke.
55. We won't.
60.
53. Chase up 1-0. I don't know who that is. Don't know who that is. Come on, computer. Freddie Highmore. You know him? He looks familiar. He's in The Good Doctor. He's the actor in the TV show The Good Doctor.
Oh, okay. 47.
40.
33. TV personality Pat O'Brien. Used to be on CBS.
81.
77.
77, exactly. Chase up 2-1. Magician Teller of Penn and Teller.
He's up 2-1.
Yeah, Dr. Cramp 2-1. What'd I say?
You said Chase.
2-1, Dr. Crane. Magician Teller, is he the...
Penn and Teller.
Is he the tall one or the one that doesn't talk?
No, he's the... Well, he's the one that talks.
There's one who's like 7 foot tall.
Yeah, he
like,
doesn't talk. He's the short one with the ponytail.
He doesn't talk. No, the tall guy is 7 feet tall.
Yeah, he doesn't talk.
He does talk. The other one, the short one, doesn't talk. Is that right?
No.
Penn and Teller.
I think you're thinking of like Jay and Silent, but I don't know.
No, it's the short one. Because there's one guy at the ponytail. He's tall, like 6'9".
Oh, okay, well, that's the one I'm talking about.
Who is he? Is he Penn or Teller?
Yes.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Well, how old the hell is Teller then?
Who's on first? What's on second?
Teller.
I don't know who's on third. 70.
84.
77. I had no idea Teller was 77. Now, the only Teller I know
I knew
is,
they were in the 70s.
The only Teller I know is the cute bank teller at Wilson Bank and Trust on Donaldson Pike. Shout out to Lauren. actor Ken Wall from Wise Guy.
Watch out for Lawrence. I'll tell you. Who?
Ken Wall from the TV show Wise Guy.
51.
52, and hey, stay off the ripple a little bit, man.
68. All right. Jim Kelly, Buffalo Bill quarterback.
63.
64.
65. 3-1, Dr. Crane. Drew Bledsoe, former Cowboys quarterback, Chaser.
And Patriots. I'm going to say he's 55.
52.
53, Dr. Cream, 4-1 on last birthday. Richard Hamilton. Oh, Rip Hamilton, NBA. Played at Connecticut.
57.
58.
47. With that, Dr. Crane wins
4-1. Good week for Dr. Crane.
Thank you very much.
Presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Above and beyond industry standards, just visit them online at JarrettCompaniesInc.com.
Hey, it's our weekend. To our guys out there, if you are struggling, need to talk to somebody on your cell phone, please, you can call or text 988-988. And to our guys out there, this weekend, do something good for your soul. Go see an old friend. Go to a movie. Go do something good for your soul. It's not selfish. It's deserving, and you'll feel alive and feel loved. If anything happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. I'm telling you right now, you'd be tremendously missed. No matter how bad you think things are going, know that we love you, and more importantly, more than anything else, God loves you.
Daytona 500 coming up this weekend. 93.3 Sports Talk 830 and 102.5 The Game after Vandy Baseball presented by Green Trees and the new Cumberland.com. That'll do it for us. DVD coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.